Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program, so very happy and blessed to be here with you today on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, in this Marian month dedicated to the Most Holy Rosary, I thought it would be a good time to delve into the one and only approved Marian apparition here in the U.S. that involved three appearances by the Blessed Virgin Mary to a young Belgian immigrant named Adele Bryce in October of 1859. The visions and messages were approved on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8th in 2010, by Bishop David Ricken of the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Bishop Ricken also sanctioned the chapel at the apparition site as a diocesan shrine, recognizing its long history as a place of pilgrimage and prayer. We're going to discuss today the amazing and beautiful story of these apparitions and talk about the miraculous event concerning a deadly fire that took place on the night of October 8, 1871, that should have destroyed the chapel and its grounds, but which instead bypassed a school, the little church itself, and a fence that surrounded the 5 acres of land consecrated to the Blessed Virgin. Through Adele, Our Lady promised to come to the aid of all those who commit to working in her son's vineyard, especially those who labor to teach children the Catholic faith, saying, "Go and fear nothing, I will help you." Before we get any further, though, let's pray together and then take a quick look at the news. O Mary, bright dawn of the new world, Mother of the living, to you do we entrust the cause of life. Look down, O Mother, upon the vast numbers of babies not allowed to be born, of the poor whose lives are made difficult, of men and women who are victims of brutal violence, of the elderly and the sick killed by indifference or out of misguided mercy. Grant that all who believe in your Son may proclaim the gospel of life with honesty and love to the people of our time. Obtain for them the grace to accept that gospel as a gift ever new, the joy of celebrating it with gratitude throughout their lives, and the courage to bear witness to it resolutely in order to build together with all the people of goodwill the civilization of truth and love to the praise and glory of God, the Creator and Lover of life. And let's go now to this week's In the News. This past Wednesday, the Indiana Supreme Court granted the state's motion to transfer the pending lawsuit on Indiana's abortion ban to the highest court, bypassing the appeals court. In the order, the high court also left in place the injunction that is currently blocking the abortion ban that had been placed on the law by Owen County Judge Kelsey Hanlon. This means that abortion facilities in the state are free to perform abortions until at least early next year. Briefs by both sides are to be filed between now and December 16th, with oral arguments scheduled to begin on January 12, 2023. The 5-member Indiana Supreme Court consists of judges who have been all appointed by Republican governors, but pro-life leaders are unsure whether they will uphold the ban, which does include exceptions for cases of rape, incest, life and physical health of the mother, and lethal fetal anomalies. If the ban is upheld, all of Indiana's 7 abortion facilities would lose their state abortion licensing, and abortions would only be permitted with those narrow exceptions in hospitals or outpatient surgical centers. We are deeply disappointed the Indiana Supreme Court will allow the injunction against Indiana's new abortion law to remain in effect pending appeal, said Indiana Right to Life CEO Mike Fichter. We estimate at least 3,000 unborn babies whose lives otherwise might have been saved will now needlessly die from abortion as the law remains blocked. Thousands more will die as we await a final ruling after the January hearing. Although we are confident the law will be upheld, it will be far too late for those whose lives will be lost as this is argued in the courts, Fichter stated. Please keep the 5 Indiana Supreme Court justices in your daily prayers. And a Notre Dame professor is offering students help to obtain abortions and contraceptives. Sociologist Professor Tamara Kay is advertising on the door of her office that she is available to offer information on all healthcare issues and access confidentially with care and compassion, the sign reads. The student newspaper, the Irish Rover, reported that Kay also has the letter J on her office door, which denotes faculty who are willing to help students obtain Plan B and Plan C pills, the latter of which is an abortion tablet touted as being 98% effective up to 11 weeks of pregnancy. Kay has said that her assistance to students in obtaining contraception and abortion has been cleared by the university, claiming it is her prerogative as a private citizen. Kay's Twitter account is filled with references to abortion, and she describes herself as an abortion rights and policy scholar. Finally, and thanks be to God, no unborn children lost their lives to abortion this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. The facility appears to be having trouble staffing the center, and the number of clients going in on non-abortion days is way down. This is a very crucial 40 Days for Life campaign, so be sure to sign up for some hours to pray there at 421 South College Avenue. The intense prayer and fasting crusade runs through 8 p.m. on Sunday, November 6th. You can go to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington to find out what hours still need covered and to sign up. Thank you for your help and generosity during this decisive time. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, we are in the beautiful month of the Holy Rosary, and of course, it's a particularly powerful prayer that we use to pray for an end to abortion and the building up of a culture of life. Sadly, most of us are far too familiar with those placards and t-shirts sported by some abortion supporters and inspired by the devil himself that say, "Keep your rosaries off my ovaries." Commenting on this misguided and disrespectful tagline, one Catholic mother of six from Iowa said, "When I see a sign saying, 'Keep your rosaries off my ovaries,' I feel a profound sense of sadness about the confusion in the culture among many, especially the youth, who believe wrong things about both the Catholic Church and the dignity of women. The Catholic Church has brought us the Bible and all of its teachings from Jesus regarding the equality and dignity of women. The Catholic Church has brought both education and health care to millions of girls and women all over the world for centuries. The consistent teachings of our faith regarding contraception and abortion have only upheld women. This beautiful faith informs women that their fertility is not something that needs fixing or canceling. When women respect themselves, men are much more likely to respect and honor the gift that a woman is," this Catholic mom said. And oh, how many of our poor children and youth have been misinformed and misled, not only about issues on human sexuality, abortion, and contraception, but also about the Catholic Church and her teachings. Well, unfortunately, poor catechesis and even deficient instruction in the natural sciences and arts are nothing new. In October of 1859, the Mother of God appeared to 28-year-old Adele Bryce, a Belgian immigrant living with her family in Robinsonville, Wisconsin, to encourage her to instruct children in the truth. Adele was given the mission to gather the children in this wild country and teach them what they need to know for their salvation. And it's vital that we embrace this same missive from Our Lady in these times in which we are living, because this certainly is a wild, unrestrained, and undisciplined country. And many souls, especially our young people, have not been taught what they need to know for their salvation. Adele Bryce was born in Champion, Belgium on January 30, 1831. At a young age, some lye got into Adele's right eye, leaving her blind in that eye. Those who knew her said that despite the misfortune, she always remained cheerful with a fervent yet simple piety. In 1855, the Bryce family immigrated to the U.S. The family purchased about 240 acres of land in the Red River, Wisconsin region to establish a large family farm. Their daughter Adele would walk some 11 miles, often by herself, to the nearest church every Sunday. In early October of 1859, Adele was taking some wheat to a grist mill along a 4-mile Indian pathway. Just as she came to a clearing between a maple and a hemlock tree, she saw someone standing between the two trees. Frightened by the sight, Adele froze in her tracks. She saw a woman who was all white with a yellow sash at her waist. Around the woman's head was a crown of 12 stars. The lady was standing on a small cloud and had yellow hair, blue eyes, and was surrounded by radiant light. Adele watched until the woman disappeared and then continued on her way to the mill. Upon her arrival, the miller noted how the young woman seemed very disturbed, and indeed she was. Adele could think only of having to make the return trip home, which she was terrified to do. Mustering up the courage after she was finished with her business, Adele started out. And when she arrived at the same spot where the lady had appeared, she saw nothing. Quickly moving forward toward home, she arrived and told her parents about what had happened. Her father suggested that it might be a poor soul from purgatory that needed prayers, so he told Adele to pray for her if she should see her again. Well, on October 9th, 1859, Adele, her sister Isabel, who was 24 years old, and a family friend were walking the 11 miles together to Sunday Mass. As the three women approached the spot where the trees stood, Adele again saw the lady in white. She quickly told her companions about the woman, but the other two could see nothing. Once again, Adele froze from fright. Her sister and friend could tell that Adele was staring at something, and they could see fear in her eyes. The lady soon disappeared, and they all agreed to pray for this poor soul. Arriving at the church, Adele immediately went to the priest and told him what she had seen. The priest, Father Verhoef, suggested that Adele ask the lady who she was and what she wanted. On the way home after Mass, the three women were joined by a man who was clearing the land for the Holy Cross Fathers. When the little band came to the two trees, Adele abruptly stopped because she saw the lady again. Adele studied her closely and could see that she was dressed in a beautiful white gown, which fell to her feet in graceful folds. There was a yellow sash around her waist, and long, wavy golden hair fell loosely over her shoulders. On her head was a crown of 12 stars. A bright light that enveloped the lady made it difficult for Adele to look at her for very long, though. She could tell that the woman had a very sweet and gentle face. Now, instead of being frightened, Adele was completely filled with joy and peace. So she walked closer and fell to her knees before the lady and exclaimed, "In God's name, who are you, and what do you desire of me?" The reply came, "I am the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners, and I wish you to do the same." Adele noted how the lady spoke in a soft, sweet voice. "The sound was heavenly," Adele said. Our Lady then said, "You were at Holy Communion this morning." Adele replied, "Yes, dear lady, I was." "You have done well," came the response, "but I wish you to do more. Pray for 9 days. Go and make a general confession and offer your Holy Communion for the conversion of sinners. If they do not convert themselves and do penance, my son will be obliged to punish them." Meanwhile, the other three in the group stood around astonished. They could tell that Adele was seeing and conversing with someone. Soon, Adele told her friends to kneel down because the Queen of Heaven was present. One of them asked why they couldn't see the lady. The Virgin Mary replied through Adele with the words, "Blessed are they that believe and do not see." The lady then said to Adele, "What are you doing here in idleness while your companions are working in the vineyard of my son?" By this, Our Lady was reminding Adele of her many companions back in Belgium who had gone on to become religious. You see, upon receiving her first Holy Communion, Adele and a few close friends promised the Blessed Virgin Mary that they would devote their lives to becoming religious teaching sisters in Belgium. However, the promise grew difficult to keep when her parents decided to move to the U.S. Adele sought out advice from a priest who told her to be obedient to her parents, assuring her that if the Lord willed her to become a religious, she would serve in that vocation in America. No doubt thinking about this promise, Adele, crying, said, "What more can I do, dear lady?" "Teach the children," came the Virgin's reply. "But how can I teach them when I know so little myself?" Adele asked. "I do not mean the science of the world," the lady answered. "Teach them their catechism, how to sign themselves with the sign of the cross, and how to approach the sacraments that they may know and love my son. Otherwise, the people here will lose their faith." Adele replied, "With God's grace and the help of your intercession, I promise, dear lady, to be faithful to what you bid me." "Go and fear nothing. I will help you," the Virgin Mother said. And with that, Blessed Mary raised her eyes and hands toward heaven and slowly rose upward, surrounded by a brilliant light and smoke-like incense. Well, this supernatural encounter left Adele shocked and exhausted and so overcome with emotion that she collapsed to the ground. The man among the little group quickly soaked a cloth in water in a nearby stream to help revive Adele. The four of them then proceeded to walk home, where Adele told everyone about what she had just experienced, and most of them believed her because of her virtuous character. Adele's father, who had always known his daughter to be truthful, decided to honor the location of the apparition by building a very small chapel, 10 feet by 12 feet, on that very spot. Father Verhoef gave Adele a picture of the Blessed Virgin to hang there. Adele set to work right away, fulfilling the charge given to her by the Blessed Mother. She offered to work hard for the busy pioneer families if they would allow her to teach their children the catechism and the rosary in spare moments. She taught the children not only the sign of the cross, but also the meaning behind it, that it is through the triune God that we live, move, and have our being, that the second person of the Holy Trinity became man and died for our sins on the cross. Adele taught them to think about these things as they slowly and reverently made the sign of the cross. She taught the children to receive the sacraments worthily, with great attention, reverence, love, and devotion. She did all of this for 7 years, walking up to 50 miles to homes in the area and bringing each child she taught to the priest to test their knowledge and faith before each one's first Holy Communion. The priest remarked how this work almost killed her, and he finally told her that she must have the children come to a central place, and she must get other women to help her. Donors stepped forward, and a school was established, which also served as a home for orphaned and impoverished children. And in 1861, a larger chapel, 24 by 40 feet, that could hold 100 people, was built to replace the smaller one. A pious woman donated the 5 acres that contained the holy site. One of the signs that so very often accompanies an authentic apparition is persecution. And Adele most certainly had her share of that. No slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, our Lord said, they will persecute you. When some people and even some clergy went to the bishop to accuse Adele of running a shady business, the prelate called her in and told her that until he could figure out what was going on, she needed to close the school. Adele promptly handed him the keys to the school and told him, "All of these children living in the school will be without the teaching of their faith, and it's your responsibility then to see that they get it." The bishop quickly handed the keys back to Adele, and that was the end of that. Other doubters also began to give Adele a hard time. But true to her promise to help Adele, Our Lady interceded. Miraculous healings began occurring in the chapel. Blind visitors regained their sight and the deaf their hearing. The sick were healed and cripples walked again, leaving behind their canes and crutches. Soon, Adele began to attract other teaching companions, and together they formed a community of sisters according to the rule of the Third Order Franciscans. In 1864, the group was named the Sisters of Good Health, and they were accepted by the Bishop of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Adele did end up keeping the promise that she had made to become a religious. In fact, she became a religious in Champion, though not Champion, Belgium, where she was born and lived for many years, but in Champion, Wisconsin. You see, at some point before her death, Adele had walked into a town council meeting and was asked what she thought the new name of the village should be. Adele quickly responded, "Champion." So the town council agreed to rename Robinsonville Champion, the name which it retains to this day. Well, the Sisters of Good Health worked hard to instruct the children in the faith in the Green Bay area. But on Sunday, October 8th in 1871, tragedy struck the state of Wisconsin. A huge firestorm started near Peshtigo, Wisconsin, and quickly spread through woods and towns, consuming everything in its path. Lumber companies and sawmills had been harvesting the woods of Wisconsin, leaving behind piles of sawdust and branches, which became easy fuel for a carelessly lighted match. It was a raging inferno with fire tornadoes ripping through the area, causing death and destruction everywhere. Flames jumped rivers. Embers rained down as fireballs destroyed homes, buildings, farms, and entire towns. It was described as a wall of flame a mile high, 5 miles wide, traveling 90 to 100 miles per hour, hotter than a crematorium, turning sand into glass. It is said that the heat was so strong that it killed people before the fire ever got to them. Approximately 2,500 people died, 12 towns were destroyed, and 1.2 million acres devastated. In some places, the ground was burned to a depth of 2 feet deep. It was the deadliest fire in American history. Well, the town of Champion, including the chapel and school, were in the path of the deadly inferno. Sister Adele decided it was impossible to flee the fire. So the sisters, the school children, and some frantic neighbors all gathered in the chapel on the 5-acre grounds and prayed to the Blessed Virgin Mary for help. Adele then led a procession around the perimeter of the chapel grounds, carrying a statue of Our Lady. The procession continued all night long with the recitation of the rosary, all around the grounds, on their knees. Throughout the night, as the winds and flames blew strongly in the direction of the chapel, those gathered in the procession would turn in another direction to avoid the suffocating smoke, even as they continued to keep going, hoping and praying for a miracle. Well, by morning, all the woods, the homes, and the farm buildings in the surrounding neighborhood had been obliterated. The school, the chapel, and the fence that enclosed the 5 acres of land consecrated to the Blessed Virgin, however, remained miraculously unharmed. It is said that the outer side of the fence posts were charred, while the inside was untouched, attesting further to the extraordinary and supernatural intervention that had taken place. Exhausted from their fears and the all-night procession of prayers, the people praised and thanked God for His mercy in sparing their lives and the chapel grounds, and then headed off for some sleep. A local priest, Father Pernan, wrote an account of the extraordinary event. After hours of horror and suspense, the heavens sent relief in the form of a downpour, Father Pernan wrote. The fervent prayers to the Mother of God were heard. The fire was extinguished, but dawn revealed the ravages wrought by the conflagration. Everything about them was destroyed, miles of desolation everywhere. But the convent, school, and chapel on the Holy Land consecrated to the Virgin Mary shone like an emerald isle in a sea of ashes. The raging fire licked the outside palings and left charred scars as mementos. Tongues of fire had reached the chapel fence and threatened destruction to all within its confines. The fire had not entered the chapel grounds. This same priest also experienced a miracle of his own. Trying desperately to save the tabernacle of his church, Father Pernan carried the sacred furnishing while maneuvering a cart as he headed toward the river. As he was approaching the waters, he lost his balance. The cart tipped over and the tabernacle fell out of his hands, lost to the fast-moving waters, where it floated away as he helplessly watched. But 3 days later, an undamaged tabernacle was discovered sitting upright on a log in the river, the sacred species unharmed by water or heat. To this day, on the anniversary of the miracle, many descendants of those whose lives were spared during the October 8, 1871 fire come to celebrate and give thanks to God. October 8th and 9th are big and special days for the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. Well, after the fire, Adele and her sisters continued to teach and catechize the children for many years, leaving a lasting presence on the community. Adele died at the age of 65 on July 5, 1896. She is buried in the cemetery located near the Apparition Chapel on the grounds of the National Shrine. As I said earlier, on December 8th in 2010, Bishop David Ricken of Green Bay formally announced the approval of the apparitions. He wrote, "I declare with moral certainty and in accord with the norms of the Catholic Church that the events, apparitions, and locutions given to Adele Bryce in October of 1859 do exhibit the substance of supernatural character, and I hereby approve these apparitions as worthy of belief by the Christian faithful." And a great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She brought forth a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. The apparition of Our Lady that Adele Bryce was so very blessed to have been given evokes this verse from Revelation chapter 12. Benedict XVI, in one of his papal homilies, gave some beautiful insights on this scripture passage and what it means for us. The message of Mary's life was, "I am the handmaid of God. My life has been one of service, the gift of myself to God and my neighbor, while trusting and living courageously, countering all the threats of the dragon." Mary succeeded in being this woman, clothed with the sun, a great sign of the victory of love, of the victory of goodness, of the victory of God, Benedict XVI said. She is a great sign of consolation. Yet this woman who suffered, who had to flee, who gave birth with cries of anguish, is also the church, the pilgrim church of all times. In all generations, she has to give birth to Christ anew, to bring him very painfully into the world with great suffering. Persecuted in all ages, it is almost as if, pursued by the dragon, she had gone to live in the wilderness, the pontiff said. Our Lady of Good Help, clothed with the sun and crowned with 12 stars, is indeed a model for us, a model for the church, especially in these times. As she has done in so many of her other apparitions at Champion, Wisconsin, Our Lady asked us to pray unceasingly for the conversion of sinners and to give generously of ourselves for love of God and neighbor. Many souls are going to hell because there is no one to pray, make sacrifices, or to teach them about the Catholic faith. Just as it was back in the mid-1800s, there is an urgent need to instruct our youth in what they need to know for their salvation. As baptized Catholics, it is our duty to labor in pain and suffering, just as Adele did, so as to bring forth Christ anew in the world today. We don't need to be afraid because Our Lady has promised us through Adele, "Go and fear nothing, I will help you." Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.